If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. Guest time at 34 past the hour, a woman who rehabilitates shelter dogs and trains them to become service dogs for kids with special needs, the Lady Dog Whisperer. And she's also New Jersey's Dog Whisperer. Unique abilities with dogs with behavioral issues. And she has rehabilitated over 25,000 dogs. She can take mine today because
What's that? You have that special kind of dog. I mean, she has a Rhodesian Ridgeback, which have special personalities, I've been told.
Yep. Well, she can take mine today and, you know, take him for a couple of days.
My sister and brother-in-law have one, and he's the nicest, most amenable dog I've ever seen.
Yeah, some are, some aren't.
Elegant dogs.
I saw a bumper sticker when we were driving back from Florida a couple of weeks ago. It had to be a dog trainer on the back of the vehicle. The bumper sticker said, dog training, it's not the dog, it's the owner. So I think that's pretty interesting. It's not necessarily training the dog, but it's training the owner to be disciplined enough to make the dog do the right thing. Anyway, that'll be 34 past the hour. Flu cases are slowing down, but threat is still real. Do you think that's true?
I don't know. You know, New York declared an emergency afterwards. If you look at just so people know, we've been saying about every 2 weeks, starting October 28th, that this looked like the worst flu season on record since vaccines were available, and to, in fact, get your flu shot. And we've been advising people. I'll tell you our update for another prediction, if you will, today, later on. But it was pretty obvious from google.org/flu trends and the number of people getting immunized way back in the last week of October that we were going to be at a very high rate. And it's continued. And if you look at it today, which I have, you just go to google.org flu trends and then get the United States, it is by far the worst since in the 13 years that Google has tracked it, but it's in the worst that we can find since the 1960s when vaccines were first offered. So this is a high level, and every state is intense. The problem is only a third of people have been immunized against the flu, actually 35.6%, which means it's more likely to spread. I think we still got, I'm a little worried that the cases are only slowing because they're not being reported, because everyone knows how bad a season it is. And in fact, we're not slowing down our flu rates enough. So I think we may have another couple weeks of higher flu rates till we turn the corner.
I think there are three states I've heard earlier today that don't have the problem. California, which is interesting to me. What else? California, Hawaii, and one of the Midwest states, or breadbasket states, Missouri, I think. But
was South Dakota.
South Dakota.
But in fact, if you look at those, they look like they're going to get it. Nothing. I mean, Hawaii and Alaska may avoid even worse, but Alaska had the highest rate early on. So Alaska already has been hit with it. Hawaii may avoid it because it's got to be brought in and there's got to be frequent contact. So I don't know about Hawaii, but the other states, it doesn't look good for any of the other states. If you'd looked at this map a month ago, most of the states were in the orange or light, if you will, red. Now they're all, other than California, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, South Dakota, and Virginia, Hawaii, and Alaska, they're now all in the intense red that they haven't been in. Literally, they haven't been in ever before since vaccines.
They say about 36,000 people die every year from the flu. How does somebody go from having the flu to dying? How does that happen?
They get inflammation and pneumonia. They get pneumonia. They then get inflammation in their body. The inflammation causes you to flip off a plaque meaning you break off a piece of the cholesterol in your artery that goes to the coronary arteries, and you have either a heart arrhythmia, an abnormal heartbeat that kills you, or you just block the artery and it kills you, or it goes to your brain and causes a stroke, or you just develop pneumonia.
Yeah, 36,000.
It's the average is 36,000. The guess is that this, although the flu is more common this year, we don't think it is more severe from a death rate standpoint.
I hope we can get through it. Hope we really can. Let's talk about that diet soda story. That diet soda's, you know, been in the news because it's been linked to a lot of different problems if you drink it. Now, what's the latest about drinking diet soda?
This was a very interesting study, if you will, in that it associated diet soda drinking with depression. Now, you'd say, why would you get sad? Why would these people? And it looked at a large number of people over a large number of years. It's a Norwegian study for the entire population of Norway. As opposed to coffee, if they drank a lot of coffee, they were less likely to get depressed. So it isn't the caffeine or even the amount of caffeine. It was something in the diet drink itself that was associated with and if you had four cans a day, it was associated with a 50% increase in your risk for depression.
Wow. I don't know what's better. Is it diet soda better or regular soda better? Sugars in regular soda, that'll kill you.
The regular soda it was just as bad. Yeah. This is all soda is bad. Just stay with coffee or water.
Yeah. And energy drinks. I mean, other than I can't imagine, you know, you've got the energy drinks. That's caused all sorts of problems as well. And the Gatorades or, you know, whatever you use to replenish when you work out. It seems to me the only safe beverages are coffee and water, right?
They're not only safe, but they're healthy. Coffee is associated with a lower risk of depression, lower risk of memory disorders, if you will, even a lower risk of cancers. Nine different cancers are decreased by coffee, or at least are associated with a decrease in prevalence when you have coffee. So coffee seems to be a very good thing rather than just a neutral thing.
Well, let's qualify, though, coffee black, right? Not the coffee with the...
Absolutely coffee black, right?
Accoutrements.
With the added sugar and all the other junk in it.
Accoutrements. And how many cups a day would be A-OK to do?
If you like coffee, there are four side effects of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Heart arrhythmias, abnormal heartbeats, gastric upset, anxiety, and migraine headaches. And if you don't have one of those, the more coffee you have, the better. And the optimum looks like you hit the optimum with 6 8-ounce cups a day mm-hmm. of regular black coffee.
How come we don't talk much about tea?
Well, there is a tea equivalent, and it looks like tea is just as good as caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have, and the reason we don't talk as much about tea is twofold. One, people expect tea to be healthy.
Yeah.
And secondly, and this is an interesting thing, people expect it to be healthy. And the second one is that there is a tea-coffee equivalence that makes it likely that tea is as good, but we just don't have as enough data.
It's kind of like the unappreciated beverage, tea, right? Although
it's very appreciated in a lot of other countries, you know, Canada, Great Britain, et cetera. It's very appreciated.
Yeah, you get a lot of the countries that really rely on that to remain healthy. There's all sorts of different kind of teas that they use. So we very rarely talk about it. We talk about diet sodas and energy drinks and coffee and whatnot, but tea is something we don't seem to spend much time on, but it's got its benefits as well.
Almost exactly the same benefits as coffee.
Yeah, very good. udocs@gmail.com on the email. Next up is guest segment time, the woman who trains shelter dogs to become service dogs for kids. Interesting topic. We'll get to that after the break. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen.